Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 61. It's a wonderful psalm. I was thinking about the subject of heritage, and as I Googled or as I searched the Bible for the word heritage, I came across this psalm, Psalm 61. It's not a psalm I'd previously preached on at any point in time, but it really was a great encouragement to me as I was preparing it and researching and doing my work and getting ready to share this morning. It says, "For the director of music with stringed instruments of David, hear my cry, O Lord. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day." I'm sure we all go through difficult times, don't we? Yesterday, as Patricia mentioned, we were at the funeral of a fellow pastor up in Stadtheim, Andre de Beer, whose wife got sick very quickly, and from the moment she began to feel sick, 41 days later, she passed away. She had very severe cancer and literally felt sick, got put into hospital, never came out of hospital. And it was just really, really quite devastating. You know, when you're at the graveside of a friend and you suddenly realize that at some point in time, we all may face that reality. Those of us who are married and have a partner, and obviously our minds ran and our hearts went out to him as he just shared. And but we all face difficult times. In this particular psalm, David was running away from Absalom. Absalom, his own son, who had kind of, through a coup, taken over the rule of the country. And it appears as if this has happened sort of towards the end of the time when Absalom had rebelled against his own father and kicked him out of government and kicked him off the throne and taken his throne. And David was not only in the midst of a difficult place, but he could also see the light at the end of the tunnel. And folk, that's what I want to remind us of this morning. I've called this message "From Glum to Glad." Now, of course, as South Africans, our heritage is we're feeling a bit glum today, aren't we? After the loss of our rugby team last night, we're all feeling a bit down in the dumps and wondering where it's going to end. But we hope it ends with gladness on the last match when they win the World Cup, don't we? But there's no guarantee of that. But there's a wonderful picture in the psalm of how we as Christians can move from being glum to glad. We don't need to stay in moments of glumness. We don't need to stay sad. We're friends, we can move from that because our eyes can be focused somewhere else. So first of all, as David starts the psalm, he reminds us what we can do when we find ourselves in a difficult place. What do we need to do? Or what did David do when he found himself in this very difficult place that he was? There are a number of steps that he followed. The first thing he encourages us to do, friends, is to call out to God. The psalm begins with, "Hear my cry, O Lord, listen to my prayer." The Hebrew word for hear is the word shama. And it would have reminded David of the call of God to the nation of Israel to hear him. There's a famous passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is called the Shema Israel. It is God's reminder to Israel to call to him. Listen to this passage. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and to observe you in the land that you are crossing, the Jordan you possess, so that you, your children, and the children who come after them may fear the Lord the God as long as they live by keeping his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, O Israel, be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that may your increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God had promised you." And then the famous words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And later on, Jesus, and with all your mind. "These commands that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them upon your children. Talk of them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." Friends, God tells Israel as the very first command that he tells them to do, when you find yourself in difficulty, turn to me. Face his direction. Friend, perhaps you need to think about that yourself. If you're going through difficult times, I mentioned last week or the week before, sometimes when we're going through difficult times and God feels far away, it's not God has moved, friends. It's us who have moved. But sometimes we just maybe facing in the wrong direction. Sometimes we take our eyes off God. And what God is saying, turn and face me. And look to me. Face my direction. Direct your requests and your needs to me. And that's the first thing we need to do, friend. If you're finding yourself in a difficult place, turn and call to God. Secondly, David says, call to him wherever you may be. Verse 2 carries on. He says, "From the ends of the earth, I call to you." Let me remind you, friends, God is never far away from whenever you may be. Psalm 139 says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark for you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness as is as light to you. Friends, Eskom's failure doesn't bother God. He can see you. Even though you may be in the dark, God is never in the dark. Doesn't matter where you are, friends. God knows where you are. And you can call to Him from wherever you may be. The prodigal son called to Him from a pigsty, then went to Him. The third thing David tells us to do is not only must we call out to God from wherever you are, but he says, call out to God from wherever you are, regardless of how you may feel. The verse 2 carries on. He says, from the ends of the earth, I call out to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Friend, God hears our heart. Doesn't matter what your heart is like, friends. You know, in the world we're living in, particularly us men are always told to put on a brave face. We saw it yesterday in the funeral of the pastor's wife. You know, Patricia and I were, yesterday at the funeral, he was still the pastor. He wasn't a husband who had lost his wife. He was a pastor burying a member of his congregation who just happened to be his wife. And I'm hoping and praying that when he faces the depth of what he's going to face, that God will be with him at that point in time. Because it's not going to be easy, friends. The Bible, friends, is full of people who cry out to God out of the depths of despair. I think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Often you hear him crying out to God. But friends, even Jesus cried out to God. As he hung on the cross, as he felt totally abandoned, in the depths of the pain of separation and the pain of hanging on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friend, God hears your heart. God knows what you're feeling. There is no feeling God did not create. There is no feeling God Himself has not experienced. The book of Hebrews tells us that He has faced every trial and tribulation that we have, yet without sin, friends. God knows how you feel. If you're angry with God, tell God you're angry. Friend, God will listen, regardless of how you may speak to Him. Fourthly, David reminds us not only to call out to God from wherever you are, regardless of how you feel, he tells us to call out to God from wherever you are, regardless of how you feel, and then to ask Him to restore your confidence and trust in Him. David said, from the ends of the earth I call out to you as my heart grows faint. And then these wonderful words, lead me to the rock that is higher than me. For you are my refuge and my strong tower against the foe. I long for you to dwell in their tent forever and to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Friend, David David reminds us that high places have always been a symbol of the presence of God. David himself often hid in a high mountain, on a cave, on a high mountain. At a later stage in Israel's history, they went up a mountain called Masada. And there they held off against the Roman attacking forces for many, many years, until the Romans built a big ramp up against the side of the mountain so that they were able to reach them. In our own history, we've got Taba Mtu in the Free State area, a place where the Tswana and the Sotho people went for protection in a high place, friends. David is thinking about Jerusalem, because if you know anything about the geography of Israel, you'll know Jerusalem is on a mountain. And whenever people went up to Jerusalem, they would go up to the mountain. But friends, David is pointing us to Jesus, because Jesus was on a rock. Not only was he on the rock, he was the rock. Peter, on the day of when he's talking to the Sanhedrin, he says this to them. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, know this, you people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you. He is the stone the builders rejected that has become the capstone." Friend, there is no place better for you to go than to go to the foot of the cross and look up to find Jesus on the cross, dying there for you. That's the picture. That's the picture David has in his mind when he tells us, call out to God, regardless of where you may be, regardless of how you feel, and ask him to focus your attention on Jesus. There's no better place to be, friends, than at the foot of the cross, looking up to Jesus when you're facing difficult times. But the psalm doesn't end there, because the psalm doesn't only tell us what we need to do, it tells us what we need to think when we find ourselves in difficult places. Because, you know, oftentimes our minds, our thoughts determine how we feel, isn't it? What goes on in your head often goes on in your heart. So David is reminding us, think about these things as he himself thinks about them. So what does he remind us to think about? The first thing he reminds us, friends, to think about is he says, recall your own commitment to God. He says, Lord, you've heard my vows. You see, you may be tempted to abandon God if you feel God has abandoned you. The best example we have of that in the Bible is the man Job. If ever a man had cause to turn his back on God, it would have been Job, wouldn't it? He lost his whole family. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of everything he owned. He lost his health. Even he was losing his friends where he was, who were criticizing him all the time. But friends, Job does what David tells us to do. As his friends are criticizing him, Job says this to him: "I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends. Have pity on me, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, that my words were recorded, and that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever." Then Job says these words: "I know my Redeemer lives, and at the end I will stand upon the earth. He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Friends, if Job, with all that he faced, the first thing he does is renew his commitment and his covenant with God. James reminds us, the book of James reminds us, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So step number one, friends, remind yourself of your promise and your covenant to God. Because the devil will try and take that away from you. He'll try and take away your faith. He'll try and take away your trust in God. He'll try and make you question whether God truly is who God says he is, friends. But you can say in the face of the devil, "I trust Jesus, regardless of what I may be facing." Secondly, David reminds us, you're not alone. What a great encouragement. This wonderful verse that drew me to the psalm. David says in verse 5, "You have given me a heritage, and the heritage is of those that fear your name." Friend, what a great privilege we have to belong to a great body of faith. We call it the church. Friends, we even have those who have died as Christians and who have gone before us, who are cheering us on, who are saying, "Go for it." Listen to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Friends, you know, the sad thing is oftentimes when people feel that God has rejected him, they often reject the church. But that's the very worst thing you can do, friends. If it feels as if God is far from you, let me encourage you. The church is the very community that was willing to come around you. The church is the body of believers that are there that give you strength. Ask any believer who knows that comfort. They can testify that without belonging to the body of Christ, they would wonder how they ever got through difficult times. I too can testify about that. Third thing David reminds us, friends, is not only to renew our commitment, not only to remember that we belong, that we're not alone, but the third thing he tells us again is to focus our attention on Christ. Verse 6 and 7 says, may the days of the king's life, increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations, may be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Many have asked the question, who's David talking about in those verses? Is he asking for himself? No, friends, he's not asking for himself. Because he would not live for many generations. He can only live for one generation. Friend, David is pointing us to Jesus. Because Jesus, friends, is the one who gives life. Jesus is the only one, friends, who can impact many generations. David couldn't do that. Jesus is the only one who is enthroned and at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus, friends, is the only one who can dispense all of the love that is ever needed. Friends, Jesus is the only one who can give us the power to protect us from whatever we have. The book of Hebrews also reminds us, after reminding us that there's a great cloud of witnesses around us, encouraging us to carry on and, you know, walk in the faith, the next sentence in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Friend, that's what we need to do. Focus on Christ. Fill our minds with Christ. Let him fill us. And then the final thing David tells us to do is to fill our hearts with praise. David says, then will I sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Started off by saying, what you think you are, you become. That's a proverb. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this, as a man thinketh, the King James Version says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Friend, your mind controls your attitude and your actions. So it's equally important for you to do something when you're facing a difficult time. But it's equally important to think something. And the thinking is focus on Christ. One of the things Pastor Andre did yesterday was he reminded me of a song that I think many of you know. It's one of Laurel Diegel's songs. We'll sing it at the end here. It's a wonderful song that even in the midst of Andre's pain, he wanted to point us to Jesus. He wanted to remind us that Jesus is the one who can fill our hearts and take us from being glum to being glad. Jesus is ready to do that, friends. He's the pudding. He's the promise that we look forward to. If those that are leading us in song come forward, we'll sing that song as we end off together.